Welcome back to yet another episode of the Big Asp Cornhole Podcast. Sean and Dane are back, and tonight we are practicing safe podcasting. Dane, what's going on, man?
Oh, you know, it is what it is, man. We're staying apart. And
first time ever podcasting that we are in separate houses.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It is. All right. Well, we're not going to change anything, okay? So let's get right into it. Our favorite and perhaps most important segment, what you drinking?
What you drinking?
Oh, thank you, Mickey. So today we're drinking on some Proper 12. It's an Irish whiskey endorsed. Does Conor McGregor own it too?
Yeah,
I can't remember. So Conor McGregor is the owner.
It's not my favorite, but it gets the job done. So if Conor McGregor ever listens to it, it's fantastic. So
it's drinkable Irish whiskey. I think all of them are. So bottoms up, it is. It's good enough.
Yep, and I'm.
It's got a nice dip to it, if you will.
Oh, it is going wild, way too fast tonight. Way too fast. Okay. So today we're going to discuss a topic that was brought up by a listener, okay? The topic is how to break up with a cornhole partner, which I'm pretty interested to get our takes on this, okay? And then we just got done doing a fantastic interview with the owner of Primal Bags, Cruz Gámez. I am super excited for everyone to hear it. He's an awesome guy.
His son
gave us some great content. I can't wait for you guys to listen to it. So that'll be at the end of the episode. We're going to bring that. But before we get to all the big stuff, okay, before we get to the meat of the episode, we're going to update you on current cornhole affairs in a segment we call In and Around the Hole. Which is brought to you by Cornhole Addicts. Feed your addiction at cornholeaddicts.com and
PJ McIntyre's, the greatest pub in Ohio. They're still open. Go get some food. Go get some growler fills. Get after it. Irish fare. Delicious. Fantastic. Let's go.
For sure. So, Dane, it's been 10, almost 11 days since I've played a game of competitive cornhole. And let me tell you, man, withdrawal is definitely starting to set in. I am getting the itch extremely hard, okay?
I mean, you should consult your doctor.
Something like that. Preparation H.
Feels good on the whole.
Dude, I really am starting to miss our regular Monday league. And so shout out to all of our Cleveland Cornhole friends out there. Hope you guys are staying safe, staying healthy. I miss seeing you guys every week.
Yeah,
I can't wait till we can. But this goes out for everyone. A public service announcement. I'm going to get off on a little tangent here real quick. Okay, I'm sorry. While everyone's still listening.
Well, you're a healthcare professional.
Because we're only in here for 3 minutes in, so I know no one's gone anywhere yet. This is not a joke, people, okay? The more we all just suck it up and deal with this, the faster we can all get back to playing cornhole, getting back to our leagues, getting back to tournaments, getting back to normal life, all right? This is not just something that's going to pass. Nobody's superhuman. So if you know somebody that's in healthcare, all right, you know a nurse, you know a doctor, physical therapist, occupational therapist, anyone that you know that's in the healthcare community, let them know that they're doing a good job, all right? Because every day they're going to work. And not just because they're essential, but because if they didn't go to work, people wouldn't get better. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm frustrated now with some of the comments I've been seeing from people. It's been a rough day, so we'll leave it at that for me. We'll go from there. So going through cornhole withdrawal, I have not played any competitive cornhole. I've thrown bags outside in like 30 degree weather, like for like 10 minutes, like twice. Besides that, I know you have played in some ghost cornhole matches. So I wanted to kind of, we talked about it last episode. How did you do? What did you think of it? Just kind of give us a rundown on it.
Well, I mean, I don't really know if you can call what I did playing ghost cornhole. I tried to face Ghost 8 and, I made the mistake of just like setting up and then turn it on live feed and being like, all right, Ghost 8, let's go. Like, it was not pretty. Yeah, needless to say, I should probably warm up a little bit before facing the ghost next time. But, I mean, dude, it is a lot of fun. Like, I challenged Brendan Ahern to Ghost 8 for beers next time we meet up, which, I mean, to me, all it does is make him an easier opponent. So, yeah, I'll just keep throwing beers in his face. But, yeah, I mean, it's fun. You know, it kind of it scratches that itch a little bit, but it's not a, you know, it's not the cortisone cream that we all need.
Was it harder than you were expecting it to be?
I don't know if harder is the word for it. I mean, it's very simple to just go onto your Facebook and click, you know, live feed, type in the top what you want to do, and start playing.
I mean, like
facing the ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, like
it's just weird because it's like recording your normal just like practice.
Okay.
I don't know, because you're not throwing against anyone, like. You're just going down, and those four bags seem like they mean so much going down, and every round matters. Like, you can't have a bad round, otherwise you're giving up 5-6 points, and, like, there goes your lead, which I had happen to me when playing the Ghost, so.
Well, if the weather cooperates with me this weekend, I definitely want to get in a few matches. I need to practice a little bit before this Ghost Cornhole League starts up in April. Speaking of which...
Yeah.
Check out Ghost Cornhole League on Facebook to sign up. You must sign up by April 5th. And I believe the league is going to run for 4 weeks. But go to Ghost Cornhole League on Facebook to check out kind of all the details. And we will be in this league. I'm looking forward to it. I've never done anything like this. I'm really hoping the weather cooperates, or I'm going to have to just suck it up. And
at least this weekend, it looks like you might have some decent weather.
Yeah, I'm supposed to rain. I just want to be outside.
Thursday is going to be a good day.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll see what I can do. All right.
I love Cleveland. We look forward to one day.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That's basically our life here for like the next month or two. So let's move on to the meat of the episode. Okay. I alluded to before, we had a question that a listener had reached out and he wanted to stay anonymous. So I'm not going to mention his name. And I truly mean this. He wanted to stay anonymous. It was not me, okay? So this
Lies.
Is not just me
Lies.
Coming up with something.
Tell me who it is.
So he filled me in on a current situation he finds himself in. All right. Him and his partner joined the league together. They're about the same. Maybe he said maybe his partner was a little better in the beginning. He started taking it a little bit more seriously. And he feels that he has continued to improve his game and is ready to move up. But his partner doesn't really take it as seriously and has not really improved as much as he has. So he wanted us to discuss, how do you break up with a partner in cornhole? So, like, when you start off at the game, Dane, I think that it's pretty common to join a league with, like, a buddy, right? And chances are... You're probably pretty even in skill level, or maybe one of them's a little bit better than the other. But what are your thoughts about this whole scenario? Do you believe, you know, just roll with it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like I definitely agree with you. When you first start out, it's usually with like a friend or something, and one person usually does surpass the other at some point, and. I mean, there is a point where, you know, if you're looking to move up, sometimes you got to look out for your own best interest, especially if, like, someone's not taking it as serious as you are. Because, I mean, there is money to be had in this. So if you think that you're ready to step up and, you know, start playing pro level and stuff and doing all that noise, then if you got to make a move, you got to make a move. I wouldn't blame anyone for that. As far as, like, pro partners changing, I think that's a whole other level to me. I mean, if you want to touch on that at all, but
do you think it's harder for pro players to change, or do you think that it's easier to be like, hey, you know, we're both professionals here. I want to go a different route. Wish you the best of luck. You know, well, I'll see you on the boards kind of thing.
So I think it's easier to change, but I think it's harder to find a partner that you have rapport with.
Do you mean on the professional level or
on the professional level?
Okay.
Cause like, you know, when you're climbing up, you're looking at the people that are ahead of you and like usually that person that's ahead of you, like, will contact you and be like, hey, I'm looking for a partner. Or you contact them and be like, hey, I'm looking to move up. I like your game. We get along. But then once you're all the way up at the pro level, like, sure, you have friends playing with friends still. And, you know, that's it kind of feels almost like a rarity. Like, you don't see, like, good friends playing with each other at the pro level. Now, yeah. I think switching partners at the pro level is easy, like I said, but finding someone that you really have that rapport with, that you mesh well with, it's hard to find. I mean, one of the biggest marvels, I think, around right now is we had him on our show, Dalton McClem and Kyle Malone.
Yep.
Two, you know, from opposite places, but they come together. They are fire on the boards, and they feed off of each other.
For sure. I think when it comes down to it, and for, like, the non-pro player, there's this sense of loyalty versus, like, I guess competitiveness, if you want to call it. Like, do I stick with the partner because we're buddies and, you know, we join this league together and we're gonna kind of move up through the ranks? Or is it, man, I'm way better than my partner and he's holding me back, and then some resentment builds, and then, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard. You know what I mean? I feel like it's, how would you, let's say hypothetical, right? Hypothetical. You wanted to break up with me.
I would never. But hypothetically.
Hypothetically. How would you approach it? Would you try to find me another partner? Would you word it as, I think that I would play better, or I have a better fit with somebody else? Like, you know, like, how would you go about it? Like, would you continue to play with me at the leagues and then maybe talk to me about, like, hey, I wanted to try playing with so-and-so at the regionals, a division up?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best way to do it is, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all adults playing this game, and I think the best way to do it would just be ripping the Band-Aid off. Just give them the facts, and if that person, like, if you couldn't take it, you know, sorry, no hard feelings. At the end of the day, it is a game. You know, we'll still be brothers, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's a touchy subject, because you never know how people's emotions are going to react to situations like that. I mean, everyone's different. So what makes us unique?
I think it's an interesting question too, that someone posed us, because after we joined the league the first time, all right, we were in Division III, we did okay. All right. We finished, like, middle of the pack, I think, like, fourth or something like that. People actually approached us to ask us if we wanted to change partners.
Yeah, change it up, yeah.
To change it up. We were approached by two different groups of people who wanted to basically swap partners. And I don't know, we really didn't consider it. We had talked about it, but what we had said was, at least the Monday League was something that we had joined together so that we're, as, like, brothers, we're able to spend time together. It was something that we knew every Monday we were going to get to see. Because really, when you go to these leagues, you get to see everybody, but you don't really, I mean, you're constantly playing. You don't really, there's not that much downtime. So yeah. For us, at least, we decided, you know, we're in this for the long haul together. We're just going to, we'll ride and die. We'll see how we do. And we'll kind of go from there. But for other people, if it's just your friend, I can see that. I think there is a huge part in what you talked about before. A huge aspect into being successful in this is finding the person that you mesh well with, personality wise.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be the same personality.
No.
Someone that you guys kind of feed off of each
other. What helps you better? Correct. Whatever helps you better. Some people want somebody that is very calm, cool, collected on the other side, not going to show a lot of emotion. Some people want someone like, hey, I need you to pick me up. Like, I want that rah-rah type of personality type thing. I thought it was a really, really interesting question. I think there's a bunch of different ways you can go about it. There's no right way. I would suggest to this person, from what it sounds like, is that he's ready at, like, the bigger tournaments. He is ready to maybe move up to play, like, competitive or advanced.
Yeah.
And his partner, skill-wise, just isn't ready for it. Okay? I would recommend to just kind of soften the blow. If you're in a league with the player, maybe stick with the player in the league. All right? Stick with your buddy in the league. But then talk to him and say, hey, you know, maybe this week this regional tournament, I wanted to try to play with so-and-so. I want to try playing up a division. See how you do. Maybe you end up playing terrible because you're not playing with your normal partner. And maybe your normal partner brings out the best in you. You're not going to know that. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
No, it does. Absolutely.
For sure.
You know, and you, I wanted to touch on it too. Like you brought up like the loyalty versus competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like old school cornhole. Like I'm talking about the guys that have been playing for like more than 6 years. And I know it sounds like it's weird to say old school, but I mean, it's a relatively new game to like hit the scene at this level.
Yeah.
I think they kind of feel more of that loyalty than the newcomers. I think the newcomers are all like, hey, we want to be successful now. But the classic guys, like, you know, kind of the home names, they kind of seem to have that little bit more loyalty to their partners. They've like for the most, like a lot of them have been playing together for a long time. And I think they enjoy the success with each other. But I mean, that's just, you know, my two cents on it.
No, I think you're spot on with that. I really do. I thought this was a perfect topic to kind of segue into another topic. Okay. We'll kind of mesh these two together.
Ooh.
I know.
A lot of meshing going on.
There's a whole lot of meshing today. Okay. We were getting a little sentimental with that. But what are the most important things to consider, like when picking the perfect partner for you? Okay. I think right away there has to be some sort of chemistry. All right.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's
if I don't like rapport the guy,
or sexual, it like doesn't guy, matter.
I'm not going to play well with them. Okay. Perfect example. And again, I'm not going to throw out any names here because I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus. But there happened to be a blind draw. Okay. It was, I don't remember how long ago it was. I decided to take a step up and I was going to do an advanced blind draw. I got partnered with a guy who, let's just put it in a, put it this way, he was less than thrilled that he was paired with, in his words, a fucking shitty D3 player. Little did he know that I was standing right behind him when he was MFing me to his buddies. He didn't know who I was. So he actually asked somebody, who is this guy anyways? And I stood right behind him. I tapped him on the shoulder. I'm like, I'm that shitty D3 player you're talking about. I won't lie. The first game we played, I wanted to play my best just to prove him wrong. I played well. He played like absolute shit. And I fucking loved every goddamn second of it. I'm not going to lie. I didn't care how bad we lost. I loved that he played shit. And after the game, he came up to me and didn't really say a whole lot. We were using his bags and I couldn't keep my mouth shut. All I did was handed him his bags. I'm like, that's weird. I'm like, you sucked and we played with your bags. I thought you were supposed to be the pro player. And I just walked away. Now, the next game, I played like crap, probably karma. But I just still, that to me, that was a perfect example was if I don't get along well with you or if I'm not vibing well with you right away, I'm not going to play very well that with you as a partner.
Yeah. And honestly, when he was dogging you from the get-go and being down for having a lower level player, he was doomed from the start. You're not going to overcome that because the whole time it's just going through his head.
Correct. And I think that comes down to like kind of like this next part where it's like, does your partner, you need to know what you want. Do they pick you up when you're down? Do they motivate or demoralize you? Are they a talker or are they quiet? You have to know personally what they want. That's why sometimes I think blind draws are nice because you get to play with so many different types of people that you get to kind of see like, hey, what do I like? I know me and you, that's one of the things we've actually talked about a lot after matches, just to improve ourselves as partners. It's like, what do you want from me? Like I've asked you that 100 mm-hmm. times. Like, what do you want from me? Like if you're not playing well, do you want me to pick you up? Do you want me to be like rah-rah cheerleader? Or do you want me just to shut up because you know you're playing like shit? Like I want to know that stuff because as your partner, like I want to help pick you up a little bit. Or like, don't say anything to such, do I just need to start playing better too? You know what I mean? To pick you up.
Yeah.
So we've actually talked about things like that. And to be a partner and to be successful in this game, as you start moving up the ladder, I think those are things that you have to consider. What do you think?
Oh, I 100% agree. I mean, like you hit it on the head. I mean, that chemistry is, I mean, it's what kind of makes partners great. Like, I mean, two guys could be throwing great, and then when they get on the same side of the board together, it could all fall apart just because of a look that one guy gives to another. Like, for sure. It's crazy, like, how much it gets thrown in there. I know with us, like, with you and I, it is different because we are brothers. We've known each other for so long. I feel like anything we do when we're angry just upsets the other one. So it doesn't, oh, yeah. It doesn't really work out there. Right.
Stupid like doesn't,
yeah, it doesn't really quite translate to all these other... Yeah.
You loud shirt. Stupid ass. God.
Yeah.
So I think there's two other things that I was... When I was kind of like brainstorming a little bit about like what would make like the perfect partner for you to consider. One of the things is, do they have similar goals? Okay. Are their goals to go to like a Monday league and they are just, their goal is smashing beers and being social versus wanting to be / play against the best or be the best? I think that's important to know. Like if you're with somebody that's just there for the social aspect and they want to smash beers, they're probably not the best partner for somebody that wants to be super competitive, play against the best, right? Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of the best players out there will smash some beers. But I'm saying as you come up through the ranks, probably not the best move to go with, right?
I mean, I think if I'm ever going to get to that level, Sean, I just need to maintain a constant state of drunkenness.
Correct.
That's when I'm at my best.
So that's one of the things to consider. And then the last thing I think that people should consider when considering partner is something we've talked about many times before, and we've even mentioned on the show, is do they like to play similar bags?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you are a fast bag only player, okay, it does not make sense to play with somebody that only likes to play with slower bags. It just doesn't make sense. You have to find that happy medium. It's taken us quite a while to find that, but we've tried out so many different types of bags.
I mean, you guys, if you look at our post, I mean, you can see how many bags we have now.
And
my
we
gosh.
Have played with every single one of those bags. Those aren't bags that we just like, we get and we just like put them in a glass case type thing. We played with, I would say, 75% of those bags in the league.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, easily.
I mean, there was a period in time where every week we were throwing a different bag, like, in the league.
It's like a joke at our league that the people just come, oh, what bags are you throwing this week?
Yeah, I mean, but we like that. I think it makes us adapt. I mean, we can adapt. We're trying to find that perfect fit for us. But, no, I think considering somebody that likes a similar bag doesn't have to be the exact same. I think that's a big deal because some people – hate game changers. Some people can't stand the carpet on their Reynolds bags. Some people think that Vipers are too floppy. I mean, there's a million different things. I think you need to find somebody that likes something relatively similar in order for it to be a perfect fit.
Yeah. Another, I mean, there's one other thing on here that I wanted to touch on too is, you know, once you're moving up, the ability to travel and the availability.
For sure.
Yeah. Like if you're, let's say you're a young guy with no kids, your partner's, you know, got three kids.
Or two kids.
Or two kids, one on the way. Like, you know, what's the availability going to be come national time? Like, I mean, it's definitely something that needs to be taken into effect. Not that I'm dumping you because you're going to, you know, have another one of my nieces or nephews, which I am elated about. But, you know, it's
we'll find out what we find out next week, by the way, if it's I'm going to have a little buddy or another little girl to chase around here.
And are you guys announcing that to the world or are you keeping that to yourselves?
I don't know. I brought it up to Val. She wasn't super thrilled. I'm like, what if we announced it on the podcast? But I don't think she was having that. I don't know.
I mean, do you think we could get away with her not listening to the episode?
I mean, I think it's pretty safe that she doesn't listen to the episodes.
Let's throw it out there. You guys heard it here first.
For sure.
Breaking news next week. The all gender right. of Sean's baby.
So we're going to move right along here. One of our favorite times. It's now plug time. Shameless plugs. Cue the rap horn. To find us on Twitter and Instagram, you can find us at Big Asp Cornhole and Facebook, Dane.
At Big Asp Cornhole Podcast.
Thanks, as always, to our sponsors, Cornhole Addicts. You can feed your addiction at cornholeaddicts.com. Check them out for all the great content. They have bags, clothing, hats. I mean, you name it, you get it. Good beginner content. We get a lot of feedback from people who are just getting into this, wanting to know about practice. Go on, read some of their blogs, the early on ones, scroll through them. They have some really, just some real basic stuff for you to consider. So just try it out.
And then we also got PJ McIntyre's, pub in West Park, Ohio. It has, they're offering their full menu right now for carryout from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. So check them out. Support your local business. Go get some great food.
For sure. I wanted to give a quick shout out real quick. Dane, I got a new t-shirt in the mail. I'm pretty excited about.
No, surprising.
My Jay Corley bum t-shirt.
Nice. In the mail.
Super excited. It's a fire t-shirt. Jay Corley, I had to support him. I love the whole feud thing. He's actually going to be coming on the show here in a few weeks. We have a date set up, but and we'll find out more behind the scenes kind of and that whole thing. But I love that he took a situation, he rolled with it, he's self-marketing. I had to support him. He's one of my favorite followers on Twitter. I'm really excited to do his interview. But thanks, Jay. I love the t-shirt. I was rocking it the other day. My wife was kind of just looking at me, shaking her head. She didn't understand it. I told her, you just don't get it. It's a cornhole thing.
Yeah, it's like, cornhole thing.
I'm cool. You just don't get it yet, but you'll be fine. So, shout out to Jay Corley. Love what you're doing. Keep it on, man.
Cool. And speaking of apparel and swag, we are still taking jersey orders, hat orders, and sticker orders. So correct. I will be reposting that on our Facebook page sometime in the near future so you guys can see all those. It's $55 for a customizable jersey with your name and number, $30 for a hat, and stickers, one for $2 or
one for three and five for 12.
That's what it is. Thank you, Sean. Yep. One for three, five for 12. And, stickers and hats we have available at the Rip. Obviously the jerseys will take a little bit to get to you guys, but, they assured me there at Eshore that they are still pumping them out. So, it's a small operation. I guess they might be shut down now. I haven't heard from them in a couple of days, but either way,
so next,
you'll get your customized jersey.
For sure. So next we're going to be joined by the owner of Primal Bags. You might remember a few episodes ago, we did a bag review on the Primal Saber Bags. Their owner, Cruz Gamez, and his son, Junior, they both joined us on the episode. It was a great interview. They're
very awesome,
Arizona
guys.
From Soaz Baggers. So shout out to those guys. Great interview. I'm excited for you guys to listen to it. So listen in, check out their product. We were not blowing smoke up your guys' asses before. The Saber Bag is a fire freaking bag. If you like a little speed in your life and you want a forgiving bag, check it out for sure.
And guess what? It's on Amazon.
For sure.
So you could have it in your hand in 2 days or less.
Absolutely. An episode coming up soon. We've had some requests. We are going to be doing kind of like a beginner's guide. We're going to talk about tips for beginners, cornhole lingo, and kind of how to choose the right bag for you. I think that's kind of an important step. I think with so many bags on the market right now, it can be a little overwhelming. So we're going to go with that, and we'll try to have some fun.
Yeah, as always, man. We always have fun.
For sure. Well, I guess we'll wrap this up now, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything else to add. I don't want to take too much content. You know, we're scraping the barrel.
Lean times.
Yes. So, hey, if anyone else has something you want us to touch on, hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. Just let us know.
For sure. And as always, we hope you throw it straight. And it's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later. Welcome back to another episode of the Big Asp Cornhole Podcast. Dane and I are joined by Cruz Gamez, the founder of Primal Bags. Cruz, thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, no problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Really appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, man, we are we're excited to have you on, man. We raved about your bag a few episodes ago, so we're really excited to hear from you.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. It's definitely a blessing to see this transpire, and you know, to see something like this take off, you know, when you've created something and to have people talking about it, you know, it's definitely a blessing. It's almost, a lot of people say, well, how could this happen to me? You know, but it is happening, and I'm really appreciative of that. You know, the cornhole community has been great to us. So we thank you all so much.
Who is the stud sitting next to you?
Sitting next to
my friend. He's my friend on social media. Give him some love here.
Sitting next to me is my son. This is my son. He, my partner in crime, I should say. He's 20 years old, and a lot of people say he's my brother because, you know, we're not too, in terms of age, he's 20 years old. I'm 38, just in case anybody's asking. So me and my wife get started pretty early in the game, but yeah, it's a great feeling to be able to experience this game and to have that connection with my son, you know.
For sure. So let's start off by, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the game, all right, and then kind of go into why you like it so much. Like, why has it hooked you?
All right, great question. So a year and a half ago, I had knee surgery. And my go-to game, my pastime, was softball. I love playing softball. And about a year and a half ago, I had to go through knee surgery because I tore my meniscus. So everything leading up to that was, I always liked to stay active, and I couldn't play softball no more. So that put me out on, you know, I couldn't do anything. I was just on the couch. And my son pretty much saw me, you know, going through depression. I can honestly say I went through depression. I've never experienced that before. And then he one day just invited me out. And he had invited me the week prior, but I didn't go. And then that week that he saw me, you know, hey, you know, we got to go out. You got to do something. And I had just barely gotten off of crutches. And we headed out to Triple Play. Shout out to Triple Play, by the way, to Joe. And
which is our local spot, which is our locals. That's where we all pretty much started in Cornwall.
Yeah, we all.
And just remind those. So those of you that that are listening that aren't familiar, you guys are out in Arizona, correct?
Arizona, Southern Arizona. Yeah, okay. Southern Arizona. It's a small town here, a small community. It's about 30 minutes from the Tucson area, which is the closest biggest city, I should say. Mm-hmm. And so we got started there, and I went out there, and I literally see a bunch of adults throwing a bag into a hole. and I couldn't stop myself from laughing. And I said, this is literally a thing, you know, and I didn't know it was a tournament. You know, this was, it was just going out and having some fun that I thought, you know, but you know, I started throwing the bags, and then it just caught on, you know, and it gave me something to do. I still remember I wasn't walking straight, but I could still throw a bag. And I guess coming from the game of softball, it kind of just caught on. The following week, I came in second place.
Oh, you won. You won the tournament.
First place, yeah. So I came in first place. I got lucky. I got a good guy. and so far, I've been getting lucky with the guys that I get, my blind draw partner. But then it just got caught on that the following week that I went back on the third week, Joe comes up to me and he says, I owe you some money. And I didn't even know that we were playing for money. You know, I was just going for fun.
Added bonus.
That alone, yeah, that just added. You got to come here and play. You know, you got to come out here and, you know, you got to come out here and keep throwing some bags here. And it just caught on. And after, well, I don't know. You probably want to ask me a few other questions in terms of, you know, how I got how it became, you know, to get my bags and stuff like that ready.
Well, hey man, this is always a great interview when someone's
I have a question about
roll with it, man.
Go. Yeah, I have one question to bring up. So you said that you were a softball player. You started laughing when you saw these grown people throwing a bean bag at a board. Now, today, looking back at it, what's harder, softball or that? Because I'm a softball player. I played a whole bunch growing up too. And I'm sorry, but I think I got to go with the cornhole community, man. I mean, it's the ball's coming at you underhand.
So I can't say what's harder or not. What I will say is when I first started, now I do it. Honestly, I can honestly say I do it more for the fun of it. I don't do it more so for the competition. I transferred my, I don't even know the words to describe the feeling that I get now. I'm pretty sure you guys get this feeling where you get that nervousness when you're playing against a guy that you haven't been able to beat. You know, you get those butterflies and it's like, man, I can't beat this guy. And every bag is flying off the board. You know, I don't get that anymore. I don't get that feeling anymore. And it's probably due to my, I transferred that wanting to beat someone into, I just want to make bags. You know, I want to use the cornhole and be around people to discuss, you know, cornhole, just to get ideas and get, you know, feedback from the community. And I just transferred that. So now when I play, it's all for fun. You know, I don't get nervous about it. You know, it's all just, you know, obviously it's great to get a win here and there, but it's definitely a great feeling. But in terms of it being harder, I never got that playing softball. It was always, and by the way, I did get my nose broken, by the way.
Running. Were you playing the hot corner?
Yeah. the what? I'm sorry.
The hot corner, third base.
Running the base. I was running to first base, and I the shortstop threw a mean ball and tried to get.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. Yeah, it got me right in the side.
All right. But so you're saying that junior got you involved, right? So he dragged you off the couch, got in. All right. So you've been playing for a year now.
Yeah.
Who's better right now?
I'll let him answer.
It's not even a contest. My dad, okay, here, I'll tell you something about my dad. He's a really, like, good, decent player. Like, if you got him on your team as a blind draw partner, you'll be satisfied. You get me, I'm a wild card. I can be on, I can be really on, or I can be, like, who the hell is this guy? He just came from the streets, and I'll be really off. So him, he does some shots that are, he's known for his air mails. That's what he's normally known for. When there's two bags, you know, in front of the hole, he always stops everyone. Make sure everyone's looking at him. He's ready to throw. He throws the bag and goes over those two bags. He does it constantly, but that's what my dad likes to do. He likes to create that
he's a showman. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right, there you go.
I like it. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys have been playing for a while. We'll get into your bags in just a minute. Before that, what do you guys primarily like to throw? What are the big bags out in your area? Like, what are the popular bags out there?
Popular bag, I think it's all throughout the nation right now, is Ultras, the Viper bag, the Widows, and
What about Razor? Is that big out by you guys?
They are pretty big. You know what? I'm gonna be honest with you. Not so much. I think it's a fight between game changers. All slides are starting to come in, but it's probably the biggest ones down here are probably the Game Changer and Ultra Vipers, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Soon to be Primal.
That's what we want. Dynamite dropping.
Me personally, I started going to a stickier bag. I started playing with the Pro Advantages Reynolds.
Okay, there you go. That a boy.
Yeah, so the reason I started playing with them is because my dad, he put into Cito Soto's $20 mystery box.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm shouting him out because that's Cito, a great cause.
Shout out to Cito.
Yeah, Cito's a good friend.
the gay guy. And we won them, and I started playing with those bags, and I ended up loving them a lot. So my dad's bags, like the Saber series, they're really fast. If you're a fast player, I highly recommend them. But he's coming out with stickier bags, so I'm looking forward to those bags.
Yeah.
And I'm like, people ask me, why don't you play with your dad's bags? And I say, I'm not biased. I actually like a stickier bag. Those bags are super fast. If you really like a fast bag, those are your bags.
But yeah, for sure. We our first ever episode, we confessed our secret love to Pro Advantage. That was the bag that helped us kind of get to that next level. You know, like we were good as like social players, but then when we got to the competitive level, we were started getting our ass kicked a lot. But when we started playing with the Pro Advantage, it's really one that's got us up to like the competitive borderline advanced level. We've since tried other bags, 100 bags out there, but Pro Advantage, great. It's a great bag to help you improve your game, especially if you think that your consistency is off a little bit. I think it's a perfect bag for you to start with. And it's, I personally, it's the best airmail bag out there. It's just a great feel. Just, they make a great bag. So that's probably the most popular bag, wouldn't you say, Dane, around here?
Yeah, Reynolds. For sure. Reynolds, I mean, everyone throws Pro Advantage.
His shop is 10 minutes from where we live. I mean, Reynolds is king around here, so that's the primary bag. But I was interested to see what's big out in your area, just to see how different it is. Because around here, you really don't see that many Ultra bags at all. Maybe one or two at every tournament. They're starting to pop up a little bit more. But for the most part, it's a lot of Reynolds, a lot of all cornhole, like either slide rights or all slides, game changers, stuff like that.
A lot of BG, interesting. Too.
Yeah, a lot of correct. A lot of BG bags as well. So let's transition into, you've been playing for a year. What made you get into the bag game? Now, we loved your bag, okay? First of all, let's put that out there. We gave it a review, and we were not overhyping this bag. We really did like it. When I opened the box and I felt it, I remember I called my brother like 2 minutes later. I'm like, dude, you need to come over here and check this bag out. I'm like, this is like a legit, really good bag. It was because, you know, you never know what you're going to get. All right. Because there's 1,000 bag market. It seems like that are opening up every week. All right. So you never know what you're going to get. So you make a really quality bag. What made you think that I could do this? I can make a bag that is better or can compete with the rest of them. Like, where did that come from?
That comes from me being many years of entrepreneurship. So a little backstory to me is I own a business in flooring. I do epoxy coatings for patios, concrete floors and stuff. And I've been doing this for the past 20 years now. And I attribute that, you know, why would I get into bags? You know, to this day, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Literally, I'll show my bags to somebody around here that we've known for the past year, and then they'll say, "Oh, where do these bags come from?" And then I say, "Oh, they're my bags." And then I get that, you know, astonished look from, you know, on people's faces, and they're wondering, you know, why are you making bags? Or, you know, all of a sudden you just came out with bags, like who's making them for you and stuff like that. But I'm very quiet. I'm very quiet about what it is that I do. And the reason why is I didn't want people to tell me something, because when you come out with a bag, when let's say Reynolds or Ultra or BG comes out with a bag and the owner comes up to you and says, "Hey, what do you think of my bag?" Well, you're going to say, "Oh, it's a great bag. I like the feel of it." You know, you're not going to be completely honest with about the bag. But if it's your random, you know, blind draw partner and you say, "What do you think about this bag?" He's going to give you the honest opinion of that bag. So this bag has been in the works for the past 4 months, 5 months now. And I got a lot of feedback from people telling me, you know, "I wish the beads were smaller," or "I wish it were a little bit faster," or "Maybe you can round the corners off," or "Maybe you can do this." And little by little, I started perfecting it, you know, to the point where I'm comfortable with the bag. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a perfect bag, because I don't think I truly believe there's no such thing as a perfect bag or the best bag out there. It's literally what you like, you know. So there, a lot of people ask that question. Beginner cornhole players ask, you know, what's the best bag out there? And there's really nobody can answer that question but that person that's throwing it.
Yeah, and I think that's the hard part with the bag manufacturer. I think you hit the nail on the head. Is there's never going to be one bag for everybody. Okay. You're never going to be able to please anybody. So I think as a manufacturer, as soon as you realize that,
yeah,
the only thing you can do is then try to come up with another bag that might meet the other half that might like a slower bag or a tackier bag. I think it was very smart. And me and Dane touched on this last episode. We think it was very smart with you coming out a fast bag first, because that's kind of all the rage right now. I joke, like, I don't think it takes as much skill to throw a fast bag as it does a tacky bag.
True, yeah.
Because a tacky bag, you really have to focus on landing it straight or you're going to kick. And you'll realize that with the Pro Advantage as well. If you start getting lazy and you don't throw a flat bag, as they start to slow down, you'll start to get them to roll a little bit. But with the fast bag, you don't have to worry about it throwing it as flat. I like the speed of your bag. I didn't think it was on the slower side. I thought it was still controllable. I thought it was very good speed. I didn't have to try to really arc it too much. But you're the fast side now. I mean, that is lightning.
It is fast.
But it's okay, though. That's okay. I mean, if you know when to use it in a tight spaces, you're able to squeeze through. I really did like it. Where did the name come from? Like, how did you come up with that? Oh, he's laughing. All right, there we go. All right, I like this. Hey, listen.
No, also, I want to talk a little bit about my dad. My dad, when he's in on something, I'm not, like, gloating him, but he just doesn't sleep. When he starts on something, he doesn't sleep. So with the name, he would be up and he would give me names. He came out with a bunch of names before Primal. He would give me all these names and I'm like, yeah, that's a good name. All right. And then you could tell the rest, but I'm just telling you a little backstory. He just,
I truly, that is true. I mean, I'll get up. My best ideas come, you know, at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Why? I have no idea, but, but there are times.
Mine's usually after my like eighth beer.
That's probably what I needed. But yeah, that's it all started from, you know, where is it going to come from? You know, what can I associate something to? Because I can't just be any random name. And then I've always liked mascots. For some reason or another, I've always liked mascots, something you can attribute a logo to. Like, for example, if you see the SOAS logo, obviously you can't see it on audio, but our SOAS logo, Junior started.
It's sharp. I like that. The it's a raptor, correct?
It's actually a Gila monster, very well known around the southern Arizona, northern
area. I remembered it was like a lizard of some sort or something. Yeah. So I like the colors, bright.
Yeah. Shout out to Nicholas Navarrete for creating that. So thank you very much, Nicholas. But so I always like to attribute some type of logo or some type of mascot to what it is that I create. Even on my flooring business, I have a wolf on there. But Primal bags, there's so much that I can do with it. Like I have already six numbers. I don't want to spoil it. Six different names right now for my bags, but I don't want to spoil it yet.
I hear you.
you guys will love it. I think you guys will love it. But that's where I got my inspiration from, was, you know, what can I do with it? There's a name out there. I don't think I'm going to come out with it. But let's just say it's like a caveman kind of deal. Okay. And that's where it all transpired. I kind of look at the cornhole players, and that's kind of what I see. I see all these guys out there just drinking, downing beer, you know, holding bags in their hand, you know, instead of clubs, you know. So it was Primal bags. That's literally what it had to be.
It is. We come from all walks of life, but when it comes down to it, we all come from the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Same exact thing.
From the same cloth.
I love it. So it's a great equalizer.
Same place.
Hey, so,
go ahead.
Yeah. So to sort of, you know, riff off what you were just going through, I want you as the bag maker to describe to the fans what the saber is to you. Kind of like, I don't know how just describe it in your own words.
That's a very good question. What can I say about it?
What are some speed ratings you'd give it?
Is it just lightning? It's a fast bag. I try to get people to play with it, and you know, there's some players out there. If let's say I get a blind draw partner and I'm playing with my primal bags, my sabers, and it's a blind draw partner and it's at a local tournament fundraiser, I will not play with this bag.
Okay.
I will not play with it because it's so fast. I mean, they'll never be able to put it on the board.
They're just scared.
It just flies off the board. So I reach for a different bag, you know, but that's literally what I can say is it's a fast bag. You need to be a little more accurate to be able to throw a bag like this. You might get some lucky shots, you know, if a quarter of the bag is near the hole, it'll definitely sink in. I mean, it literally wraps around the hole and it will sink in. It really is a loose bag. And if you can get your accuracy down, you know, anywhere near the hole, it'll definitely sink in. And I'm not just saying that. You guys have played with it before. It'll definitely move right around the hole. So.
No, we've had our set for quite some time now. I've thrown it quite a bit. And I got to tell you, man, like, I don't know if it's just the elements out here, but I've actually gotten that bag to slow down considerably. It's not as fast as when we first got it, which is what I love about it. I love any bag that kind of breaks down and starts getting that feel to it where I don't know if maybe I'm just adjusted to throwing it or if it really did slow down. But to me, like that slower side, once I got some dirt and grime in there, like it slowed down nicely.
Yeah, definitely. The slow side definitely does slow down after a few break-ins and stuff. It just lands soft on the board. You know, very minimal, if any, bouncing on the board. So that's what a lot of people like about it. You know, it's not a bag that's going to bounce over the hole if you hit it. You know, there's just many of those shots that sometimes you just hit it right in front of the hole and it bounces right over the hole. So something that probably won't happen with this bag. And that's due to the beads that are inside. You know, they're small beads, so it just gives less of a chance for it to bounce.
Yeah, like we said, we're huge fans of it. It was a really well made bag. Why don't you, while we're on the topic here, why don't you go ahead and you guys have your website up, correct?
We don't have a website up. We're just definitely Facebook. Working on it. I mean, it'll probably be within the next 2 weeks that we have it all up and running. Okay. I don't even want to put the name out there yet because I don't want people going there right now at the moment.
No, I got you. Yeah. So how if I'm a consumer, right? I'm a bag cornhole aficionado. Yep. How do I get a set of saber bags?
Amazon.
There we go.
You can definitely find us on Facebook and you can purchase them on Facebook. I personally would recommend you go to Amazon. You'll get them a lot quicker because of what's going on right now with the virus. You know, be safe out there, guys. Wash your hands, please. But what's going on right now, they're kind of backed up on orders of getting things that are needed out there for the even though cornhole bags are needed right now, more importantly are gloves and medical supplies. So they're putting a little hold on things right now. But Amazon is the way to go to be able to get these bags a lot quicker. And I don't know, you might want to ask me why Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely. Why Amazon? I think that was a great move. I really do.
Yeah, that was a genius move.
I think on Amazon, the only other bigger company right now is Local.
Correct.
Yeah, Local's got some on there.
I think those are the only ones I've ever seen before, so I think it's a smart move.
Yeah.
So why did you go with Amazon?
Why Amazon? One, like I said, I'm an entrepreneur. I see opportunity. So the e-commerce business is only growing. So I started brushing up my knowledge on how to put products on Amazon and things like that. So that's why I went the Amazon route, because when we first started Cornhole, we struggled to find bags, and then we'd hear, you know, hey, can I get some Game Changers? Can I get some Ultras? Can I get, you know, whatever bag it was taking, you know, 2 weeks plus to be able to get some bags. And I'm over here wondering why, you know, why yeah. should it take so long? Or if somebody came out with a great bag and they're running out. And that's one of the things that when I first started, I didn't want to come across as the guy that can't produce or can't, and I'm not, you know, I'm not downplaying what everybody else is doing, you know, yeah. to each zone. That's a great problem to have. If you ask me, I hope I sell out and, you know, you're waiting 2 weeks, but I don't want that. I want to be able to get the bags in your hand, you know, as soon as, because literally that's what it is. When we make a purchasing decision, we want it then and now, not 2 weeks from now, not a month from now. We want it then and now. So me being able to supply Amazon and have the product in Amazon warehouse, you don't know that product, that item, that cornhole bag might be 30 minutes from you and you might be able to get it in the same day, you know? So I wanted to take advantage of the fact that Amazon can do that, you know, the power that Amazon has. And, you know, just how happy does it make you being able to order something and then you get it in next day, 2 days, when your doorbell rings and, you know, you run it. I'm pretty sure you guys do it. We're like kids in Christmas.
Are you kidding me?
Listen, I watch the tracking numbers like no other.
I have stuff sent to my brother's house now. All right, so I don't get in trouble anymore for ordering too much shit. So.
Hey, he'll text me in the morning, hey, there's going to be a package delivered today. Just want to let you know. Like, oh, all right.
No, I think that is a huge thing, and we've talked about it on our show before. If I order two sets of bags, right, and we've talked about this with Reynolds. Reynolds is known for you get your bags pretty much the same week, right?
Yeah.
If I order Reynolds and I order, let's just say the sake of it is Ultra, right? All right. I'm going to get Reynolds bags in 3 days. Ultra, I'm going to be waiting 3-4 weeks. If I like the bags equally, who am I going to go with next time? I'm going to go with Reynolds. Why wait 3 weeks? If I like the bags the same, I get the same results out of the bags, I'm going to go with the one that's more convenient. So I think that's a really smart move on your part.
Yeah. Yeah. That's literally why I chose Amazon, and just to make it easier to get my bags in the hands of people that are looking for something, don't want to wait. And so again, you know, I'm coming out with a few different types of models, something that's going to be a little bit slower, you know, maybe like a hybrid, something fast, something slow. But I want to have different series. They're not ACL approved at this moment. I've already spoke with ACL, and they're pre-approved. And what that means is you cannot play, you know, in regionals or nationals right now with the bags. But they will be a go ahead for June, July, right around that area. Which maybe awesome. By the time the quarantine is over, maybe they are approved.
Who knows? Right, there you go. Well, hey, we'll start to wrap this up a little bit. Is there anybody that you guys want to shout out? Like anybody local, anybody you guys want to shout out?
Of course. You know, we already mentioned Joe at Triple Play, great guy. He does so much for the community, guys. He's we're able to host events there, you know, we host SOAS events, on Fridays, and he does his Tuesday things. And what he does for the community on the weekends is fundraisers for the whole community, whether it's a baseball team, a softball team, football team, schools, you jazz name band. It. Yeah, jazz band. Doesn't matter what it is. He's always helping out the community and doesn't charge a dime. All he's interested is, you know, for people to get money to be able to raise for whatever event that, you know, that they're trying to come up with. And when I say he doesn't charge, literally, he doesn't take 1% of that cut. The only thing that he gets is from people buying food and buying, you know, drinks and things like that.
That's awesome.
So, big shout out to Joe from Triple Play. Anybody else you'd like to mention?
I just want to shout out. Well, first I want to say you guys are amazing at what you're doing. You guys are just two guys having a good time talking about cornhole. And I said to my dad, I was like, I want to start a cornhole podcast, but it's like, I don't know how to explain it. I want the cornhole like community to be a part of it. Like they talk with us and they let us know what they like to talk about, because every time we're talking together in a group, we're always throwing out ideas. Like, we started talking about ghosts and talking about how to break in a bag. And it's like, some of us just say, throw it on the damn board or soak it in detergent. And like, it's just, that's what I want to shout out is I want to shout out you guys for doing your part in the community and for just having a good time. I want to shout out all the players and the everyone that's playing right now that is just, that's what it is. It's about, it's just bringing us together and having a good time. I truly am all for that because, like I said, my dad, I've never seen him like that when we were starting out. And for him to have come on and the community to bring us together like that, that's why I was so into it now. We do cornhole like almost every day. I mean, not right now, during what's going on right now, but the community is just out of this world, honestly. Yeah.
Joe from Triple Play explained it really, really well. He put it in one sentence or one phrase. He said, "Some people find Jesus. I found cornhole."
Hey, amen to that, brother. Amen
to that, brother. Hey, and Junior, quick, thank you. Like, I want to shout you out as well for all your content that you put up on Facebook. It's awesome. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, Junior, give a little plug here. What's your social media stuff, my man? You're a good follow.
Thank you. So I am on Facebook. You can follow my cornhole page, Soaz Baggers. We're down here in Southern Arizona, like I said. Follow my dad's Instagram and Facebook on Primal Bags. You can find it on Facebook, Primal Bags, Instagram, Primal_Bags. And if you want to hit me up on Twitter personally, my name is Junior Gomez. I'm a big dude standing and walking with a white jacket. So if you want to say hi to me, I'm always tweeting for at sure. Big Ass Cornhole. I love
it. Yeah, man, for sure. For yeah. Sure. Good stuff. Hey, we really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day. Thank you. I mean, obviously, anytime someone takes time out of their day to spend some time with us on our show, we greatly appreciated it. We definitely wanted to have you on. Again, you keep coming out with bags like that, we're going to keep throwing it. And again, we try to tell people, we never put down any bag that we ever review, all right? Because somebody put their blood, sweat, and tears in it. But we were not overhyping this bag, people, all right? So if you're looking for a bag and you want it next day and you need something that you can go play with right away, check out the Saber Bag, my Primal Cornhole, lights out stuff. Keep it up, man.
Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. There's no words to describe how this makes me feel, and we just want to say thank you guys so much for the support.
For sure.
Hey, Chris, right, we'll talk to you before we log off, though, I just want to bring up one small thing. You thought you were going to get off the hook, but I'm not going to let you. I saw the Dogcast Primal bag.
Oh, yeah. What is this?
And they got some custom bags to them.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. We're going to extend this interview here a little bit. All right. Because Brendan sent us a nice little picture of the Saber bags after we let him throw them when we faced off against them.
So, my dad. I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Well, yeah.
We're just giving you crap. It's all
Here's the thing. We were supposed to meet you guys. And I had a surprise plan for a lot of people there, you know, and it didn't happen. You know, it didn't happen. But
right. It's just it breaks my heart, man.
All I can say is good times are coming. And, you know, The Doghouse Podcast, they got all I'm gonna say is they got their scopes.
Yeah. You know,
All right. So
Dane, thank you for remembering that. I meant to bring that up earlier.
I had to wait till the end.
For sure.